All right. Well, for those of you listening on the radio, we're on Mind, Character, Personality, Volume 2, page 555. If you actually have the book, it's chapter 22, and it's about conflict and conformity. I'll read the first three or four. I'll read four because the fourth one is one sentence. So, all right. First one is, conflict rightly met develops steadfastness. Through conflict, the spiritual life is strengthened. Trials well borne will develop steadfastness of character and precious spiritual graces. The perfect fruit of faith, meekness, and love often matures best amid storm, clouds, and darkness. And I can attest to that from what we just went through as a family here. Okay, amen, Maestro, will do. And the thing that, with this particular comment that she made here, what we just went through as a family with my son, Luke, not just meekness, but the fruit of faith, it really does mature during a storm such as what we just went through. Because it answers a lot of questions about yourself, too, because I always thought, what would I do in a situation like this? Would I be able to stand firm, or would I run and hide and give up on God and shake my fist at him like I did in my early... Well, I wasn't even a Christian at this one time when one of my daughters got very, very sick. So sick, in fact, she got DTs. She was just a baby. You know, I was like 2-3 years old, and she got, you know, like if you get a really, really high temperature, you'll get it's kind of like what the drunks get with the DTs. You think you got bugs all over you. She started screaming about spiders all over her body, so I shook my fist at God. I'm a tough guy here. Like, I'm going to take on God. You know, I got so mad. But then with what, later on, I just was wondering, you know, what if, and everybody always asks that question, what if somebody died, or what if somebody, it was like a deathbed situation, and what would you do? Would you really cry out to God, or would you blame God? And so as a family, we saw a big blessing there. So I praise his name for that. Because we were dragged through a pretty big fire, and we came out pretty good so far. I mean, we didn't come out walking on water, but we were blessed in areas that we needed to be blessed. Now, the next one is waging a war. It is not mimic battles in which we are engaged. We are waging warfare upon which hang eternal results. We have unseen enemies to meet. Evil angels are striving for the dominion of every human being. And that's another thing. If you ever actually saw what these demons look like, I would have a tendency to believe that most humans would just plain give up. If you knew what you were fighting against, because of the way humans react to power, you know, like some guy comes up to you like Arnold, you know, and he's got all these guns and bullets and stuff like that, and bombs and things, you're going to give up. You know, that's why the government shows such force. They got these big buildings and they got these big tanks and stuff when they're going to attack other countries and stuff. And they show a show of force to scare people into surrender. But angels are even far superior. You know, they're just huge. They're massive. And so the devil will appeal to the human eye, whereas God will appeal to the human heart. And when you realize that, I don't care how big Satan is and how many of his enemies he has, we know that the feeblest prayer, we were reading this the other day in Ellen White's writings, the feeblest prayer from a child of God will move Satan to such fearful heights that he'll be running and fleeing in unbelievable, it's amazing how powerful prayer is. The next one here is called conflicts not created by Christ. They should have bolded it, but it's not bolded. I've run into this with my own particular books of hers. Sometimes you think it's a sentence, but it's not. She says, we are living in a solemn time. An important work is to be done for our own souls and for the souls of others, or we shall meet with an infinite loss. We must be transformed by the grace of God, or we shall fail of heaven. And through our influence, others will fail with us. Let me assure you that the struggles and conflicts which must be endured in the discharge of duty, the self-denials and sacrifices which must be made in if we are faithful to Christ, are not created by him. They are not imposed by arbitrary or unnecessary command. They do not come from the severity of the life which he requires us to lead in his service. Trials would exist in greater power and number were we to refuse obedience to Christ and become the servants of Satan and the slaves of sin. So that's one of the wonderful things. There's a lot of peacefulness in Christianity. A lot of people don't realize. But yes, we go through the same problems the wicked do. The only difference is we can go through the trials with smiles. All right, and then next one is life is a conflict. The life this life is a conflict, and we have a foe who never sleeps, who is watching constantly to destroy our minds and lure us away from our precious Savior who has given his life for us. And this I can attest to too. How many of you have gone through this? You wake up in the morning feeling guilty because of a stinking dream the devil has whispered into your ear while you're sleeping. you wake up with a really hateful dream or a dream with sin in it in some way or some form, or you did something in a dream, you know, used foul language or you were smoking or whatever in a dream. You just feel a little bit guilty when you wake up, and it kind of like drags you down for a little while. And then you realize that, you know, it's just a dream. You can't be held accountable for it, but it really is annoying. The devil just doesn't sleep. He's always attacking. Every little bit, I guess, he figures will help him. But praise the Lord. Our Lord is far superior. Just a little dinky little prayer that we send off destroys that enemy. And the last one I'm going to read is called Prepare the Soul for Peace. The Lord permits conflicts to prepare the soul for peace. Amen. That says it all.
All right. To continue on, I just something that kind of kicks in there from what Nick was just talking about. You know, when stuff gets crazy and, you know, when I'm being tempted, and even when, you know, knowing that God's allowing a lot of the stuff that happens, some of it I bring on myself, but when God's allowing that to happen and Satan's messing with me and his angels and his program and everything, you know, I always, when you get all caught up in it and you get all wrapped up, and then he gets you wrapped up in life instead of looking to Christ, you know, I try to keep remembering and make myself think and remember back and just say, hey, look, Satan, you've already lost, man. Jesus has already beat you. Go away. And, you know, he usually does. I don't know whether that's a prayer or not, but you point out to him that, you know, he's already lost and he's not welcome here. That's it, Len. Get right out of my life. You know, just out. To continue, religious experience gained only through conflict. With energy and fidelity of our youth, not our, with energy and fidelity, our youth should meet the demands upon them, and this will be guaranteed a success. Young men who have never made a success in the temporal duties of life will be equally unprepared to engage in the higher duties. A religious experience is gained only through conflict, through disappointment, through severe discipline of self, through earnest prayer. The steps to heaven must be taken one at a time, and every advanced step gives strength for the next. Next one is happiness. Have happiness now. I do not look to the end for all the happiness. I get happiness as I go along. Notwithstanding that, I have trials and afflictions. I look away to Jesus. It is in the straight, hard places that he is right by our side, and we can commune with him. Lay all our burdens upon the burden bearer and say, here, Lord, I cannot carry these burdens longer. Then he says to us, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And that's from Matthew chapter 11, verse 30. Do you believe it? I have tested it. I love him. I love him. I see in him matchless charms, and I want to praise him in the kingdom of God. Next one is two antagonistic principles. Double backwards. That's cool, Bonnie. Two antagonistic principles. The kingdom of God comes not with outward show. The gospel of the grace of God with its spirit of self-abnegation can never be in harmony with the spirit of the world. The two principles are antagonistic. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. That's from 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. I'll read one more. Conform not in principles and customs is the title. Like Israel, Christians too often yield to the influence of the world and conform to its principles and customs in order to secure friendship, to secure the friendship of the ungodly. But in the end, it will be found that these professed friends are the most dangerous of foes. The Bible plainly teaches there can be no harmony between the people of God and the world. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. That's from 1 John chapter 3, verse 13. Our Savior says, ye know it hated me before it hated you. That's from John chapter 15, verse 18. Satan works through the ungodly under cover of pretended friendship, and family will fit in there. In them friends also, family can really put a hitch in your faith if you will allow them to, when they don't believe. Satan works through the ungodly under cover of a pretended friendship to allure God's people into sin that he may separate them from him. And when their defense is removed, then he will lead his agents to turn against them and seek to accomplish their destruction. And just a quick example of what I was just saying, you know, my mother and father, my family's like Nick, we're Catholic. I am an ex-Catholic. My rest of my family is not, except for a brother who is basically probably agnostic. Anyway, but my mother is very concerned with this Sabbath thing that I'm doing and the fact that I'm attending an online church instead of she doesn't mind if I go to a Baptist church, a Methodist church, or that I should go to a church. And the fact that I don't go into a building concerns her, and she's very, very worried that I have gotten myself involved in a cult. And she actually is very loving about it, and she actually is really, truly worried about me. But that pull that she has is, something that has to be resisted simply because she doesn't know the truth. And I try to do it as gently as I can because I am also there. She is my mother, and I am required to honor her, but I don't have to follow her if honoring her is going to take me, outside of the Word of God.
Okie dokie. There she is. Okay.
I'm sorry. Can you hear me now? Okay. Sorry about that. I had my settings wrong. Okay. Continuing on. Common, fire, and sacred. The truth of God has not been magnified in his believing people because they have not brought it into their personal experience. They conform to the world and depend upon it for their influence. They allow the world to convert them and introduce the common fire to take the place of the sacred, that they may, in their line of work, meet the world's standard. There must not be these efforts made to ape the world's customs. This is common, not sacred, fire. The living bread must not only be admired, but eaten. That bread which cometh down from heaven will give life to the soul. It is the leaven which absorbs all the elements of the character into a oneness with the character of Christ and molds the objectionable, hereditary, and cultivated tendencies after the divine similitude. Christ and conformity. How wonderful is the work of grace upon the human heart. It gives mental power, wisdom to use the talent of means, not in self-pleasing, but through self-denial, to carry forward missionary work. Christ, the Son of God, was a missionary to our world. He says, "Whoso will follow, let him forsake all." You cannot love him while copying the fashions of the world or enjoying worldly society. The next one is, nice comment there, Bonnie. The next one is, conformity lowers standards. Conformity to worldly customs converts the church to the world. It never converts the world to Christ. Familiarity with sin will inevitably cause it to appear less repulsive. He who chooses to associate with the servants of Satan will soon cease to fear their master. when in the way of duty we are brought into trial, as was Daniel in the king's court, we may be sure that God will protect us. But if we place ourselves under temptation, we shall fall sooner or later.
The next section, conformity gradually perverts right principles. It is conformity to the world that is causing our people to lose their bearings. The perversion of right principles has not been brought about suddenly. The angel of the Lord presented this matter to me in symbols. It seemed as if a thief was stealthily moving closer and still closer and gradually but surely stealing away the identity of God's work by leading our brethren to conform to worldly policies. The mind of man has taken the place that rightfully belongs to God. Whatever position a man may hold, however exalted he may be, he should act as Christ would were he in his place. In every stroke of work that he performs, in his words and in his character, he should be Christ-like. Amen. Unity, but not at the cost of conformity. Amen. Some who profess to be loyal to God's law have departed from the faith and have humiliated his people in the dust, representing them to be one with worldlings. God has seen and marked this. The time has come when, at any cost, we are to take the position that God has assigned to us. Seventh-day Adventists are now to stand forth separate and distinct, a people denominated by the Lord as his own. Until they do this, he cannot be glorified in them. Truth and error cannot stand in cool partnership. Let us now place ourselves where God has said that we should stand. We are to strive for unity, but not on the low level of conformity to worldly policy and union with the popular churches. And last one I'll read, a line of demarcation. A deep and thorough work of reform is needed in the Seventh-day Adventist Church. The world is not to be allowed to corrupt the principles of God's commandment-keeping people. Believers are to exert an influence that bears witness to the power of heavenly principles. Those who unite with the church must give evidence of a change of principle. Unless this is done, unless the line of demarcation between the church and the world is carefully preserved, assimilation to the world will be the result. Our message to the church and to our institutions is, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, Matthew 3:2. The attributes of Christ's character are to be cherished, and these are to become a power in the lives of God's people.
Amen. Next one is, custom is at war with nature. Oh, wait, did Maestro want to read, or... Yay or nay? Yep, okay.
Okay, let me find this. I lost my spot for a second here. Let me scroll up. Okay, it says, custom is at war with nature. Our artificial civilization is encouraging evil's destructive of sound principle. Custom and fashion are at war with nature. The 560 practices they enjoin and the 560... Okay, skip that. The practices they enjoin and the indulgences they foster are steadily lessening both physical and mental strength and bringing upon the race an intolerable burden. Intemperance and crime, disease and wretchedness are everywhere. The next topic says, when principle is not violated, follow custom. When the practices of the people do not come in conflict with the law of God, you may conform to them. If the workers fail to do this, they will not only hinder their own work, but they will place stumbling blocks in the way of those whom they labor and hinder them from accepting the truth. The next one.
Yeah, I'll pick it up from there. He was breaking up a little bit towards the end there, so I think he was on the first paragraph of when principle is not violated, follow custom, right? right. She goes on to say, I beg of our people to walk carefully and circumspectly before God. Follow the customs in dress as far as they conform to health principles. Let our sisters dress plainly, as many do. Have the dress of good, durable material, appropriate for this age, and let not the dress question fill the mind. Our sisters should dress with simplicity. They should clothe themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety. Give the world a living illustration of the inward adorning of the grace of God. Amen to that. Let me see if I can raise the lettering on here, because I forgot to do that. It's hard to read it. I guess I'll finish it off, because there's hardly anything left here. The next one is separate from worldly customs. As God made known his will to the Hebrew captives, to those who were most separate from the customs and practices of a world lying in wickedness, so will the Lord communicate light from heaven to all who appreciate a thus saith the Lord. Think about that the next time you study up on Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Because that's where I want to be. I want to be able to have that faith to know that my Lord will be there for me if I need him in a very, very scary situation like that. But if we let the world get to us, then forget about it. So continuing, she says, to them he will express his mind. Those who are least bound up with worldly ideas are the most separate from display in vanity and pride and love of promotion, who stand forth as his peculiar people, zealous of good works. To these he will reveal the meaning of his word. Next one is reason for nonconformity. This is a message to believers. Why, as professing Christians, are we so mixed and mingled with the world till we lose sight of eternity, till we lose sight of Jesus Christ, and till we lose sight of the Father? Why, I ask you, are there so many families destitute of the Spirit of God? Why are there so many families that have so little of the life and love and likeness of Jesus Christ? It is because they do not know God. If they knew God, and if they would behold him by faith in Jesus Christ, who came to our world to die for man, they would see such matchless charms in the Son that they, by beholding, would become changed to the same image. Now you see the wrong of conforming to the world. And this reminds me of the teenagers, and the young people nowadays that are listening to rap or heavy metal or hanging out with kids that mess with the occult or watching porn or whatever. Any kind of things that is of this world and it's not of God. By beholding, you will become changed. If you don't believe that, then you're calling the Creator God a liar. Because that's what Scripture says. She's just quoting Scripture here. Because it will happen. I mean, this is the warning the Lord gives to his children who he created. He knows exactly how he created you, so he knows where to warn you. It's just like with a guy that's building an engine. He tells you, don't put milk in it. It's not going to run with milk. All right, the last one here is true principles circulating through the entire system. Conformity to the world can be prevented by the truth, by feeding on the Word of God, by its principles circulating through the entire life current and working out that Word in the character. Christ exhorts us by the Apostle John to love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. This is plain language. But it is God's measure of every man's character. Wow, that's pretty sobering, to say the least. So with that said, I say amen. And 2 minutes to spare for Brother Chris to get to sleep. So let me turn off the recorder real quick here.